Yeah, we had that congregational meeting, and out of that came the request for me to speak on the subject of giving, and I'm going to be approaching it from a totally different angle than one might expect. But I'm trusting that the Spirit of God is going to stir us with His character and His heart, His nature, the way He is. So let's just pray and ask God just to open our eyes today and to speak His heart into us today. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You today. All things are created. They were made by You and for You, God. We were made for You, for Your purposes, for the destiny that You have for us. And I want to pray today that this word would bring life. Lord, that we would have eyes to see who You really are, maybe in ways that we haven't seen before. And God, I pray that You would take Your character, Your image, and that You would impress it into our hearts, our lives, God, into our words and our hands and our feet, that we would bring glory to Your name. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, I want to talk about imitating God the giver. I think all of us understand, if we've been around Christianity at all, read the scripture, it is throughout the Bible, right from Genesis all the way through into the New Testament, that the primary purpose of Christ for our lives, interestingly, was not just to save us. Of course, that's part of His plan. It's to save us. And I could say to you, part of the plan is for us to have relationship with Him. But I want to say that's part of the plan. Jesus came into this world for the purpose of saving us. He also came into this world for the purposes of us having relationship with Him. But all of this points toward the greater end, which is the restoration of the image of God on the earth. And we all know the scripture in Genesis chapter 1, where God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion." And so He makes both male and female in the image of God. And what we understand is that in the fall, when mankind, through Adam and Eve, listened to the serpent, obeyed his vision, there was a fall. And the fall for us, the Bible describes, is we fell short of the glory of God. We fell short of His character, short of His nature. And humankind, from that day to today, has been struggling with the image of Jesus Christ that God intended us to bear, the image of God that He destined us for, created us for, has been marred. And one of the purposes of Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying for us, paying the price for our sin, was so that God could actually come and take up residence inside of our life. And the curtain being opened where we have access to God, and God comes to dwell inside of us. But that action of Jesus Christ that made it possible for God to come inside of us is not just for Him to come inside of us. It's actually to completely transform our lives from that fallen image to restore the image of Jesus Christ, to restore the nature of Jesus Christ, the heart of Christ, and ultimately to bring Him glory through lives that sound and look and smell and feel like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today what we're going to look at in the scripture is we're going to look at the giving nature of God. And I can summarize everything that I'm going to say to you today very, very simply as God does not just give as something He does. God is a giver. It's His nature. Okay, so it's not just an action. He isn't just going about doing a work of giving, and somehow, that stops. Now He gives, and now He stops. Now He gives, and now He stops. It is the very nature of God himself. By nature, God is a giver. And so, anybody who draws close to God and has the power of the Holy Spirit beginning to work inside of them to transform them into the image of Christ, one of the byproducts of that is we become just like God. We become givers in every sense of the word. And so I want to walk you through a little teeny bit of this through a few passages of Scripture. I wanted to give you a couple from the New Testament about this transformation process. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this, 3:18. It says, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And remember, the Bible says that we fell short of the glory of God, but God is restoring his glory, his nature, his goodness, his character inside of us. And we're literally being transformed into that likeness. And the result of that is the glory of the nature of God, the glory of the character of God, the glory of the goodness of God, and the love of God. All the things that God is begins to be manifest in our lives. And that includes the giving nature of God. We bring glory to God through our giving. Colossians chapter 3, 9 to 11 says, you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. And so what God is doing is he's actually removing other kinds of hearts. He's removing other kinds of practices, other ways of seeing things around us, and he's putting his vision and his heart in. And an aspect of that is how God wants to use your life to become a gift and for you to become a giver in every setting that you're in. We're not just talking about money here. We're talking about God making your life a gift to people. We're talking about God transforming you so the natural outflow of your life is the continual giving away of what God has put inside of you. It includes financial things, of course, but it's everything. We are gifts to each other, and God inside of us is a gift to other people around us. And so this is the nature of God. So I want to take you into this here. I want to just talk about the main point today, and that is that God is the ultimate giver. The ultimate giver. So God, giving is God's nature. Giving is not something that God does. Giving is something that God is. He literally, by nature, is a giver. And I'm going to take you through just a few passages of Scripture on this. And there are many, but I just chose a couple. Psalm 145 says this, the eyes of all look to you. The eyes of all living things look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. This is the nature of God, and he is continually supplying, providing, satisfying the longing and the needs of all of creation. He's continually giving out and pouring out in that kind of way. Psalm 104 is similar. I'll start at verse 18. It says, verse 10. He makes springs to pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from the upper chambers. That's God. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. And the earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass to grow for cattle, plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face to shine, bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he has planted. There the birds make their nest. The stork has a home in the pine trees. This is painting an incredible picture. all the systems in our earth, the hydraulic systems, the natural earthen systems, the movement of all things in the solar system, the tilt of the earth, the atmosphere that we live in, the fact that we live on a planet that is full of life-giving water. But all of these systems are ordered by God in order to provide. That's the purpose of it. It's to provide life. It's to give the things that all the living creatures upon this earth need. God is supplying for them. And then he says the birds make their nest. The stork has a home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are the refuge of the conies. Then it goes on to say, it says, you bring darkness and it becomes night. And then all the beasts of the forest prowl at night. He makes nighttime for the night creatures. Interesting. The lions roar for their prey. Listen to this. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away, and they return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work, to his labor until evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. Listen to this. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. And when you give it to them, they gather up. And when you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. And then Psalm 45, it says, the eyes of all look to you. You give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. This is what God is doing continuously. And we understand how infinite God is. There is not a single creature, great or small, on the planet that is not, the eyes of the Lord are beholding all living things in order to give them the things that they need. He's continually giving in this kind of way. Now, I want to say to you today, and I'm going to say it again, you were created to bear the image of God. You were created to be like Him. This has a manifestation in our lives. Okay? It has a manifestation. This character of God has a manifestation in us. So, second thing I want to point out, and this is interesting, and I think we know this, God owns everything. Okay? God owns everything, and He has the right to possess everything for Himself. The Bible says that all things were created by Him and for Him. He has the right to hoard everything, to use everything selfishly. He has the right, because it all belongs to Him, for Him to do whatever He wants to do with all the things that He has created. It all belongs to Him. It's His possession. Okay? But God is not selfish. God is not a hoarder. God is not stingy. God does not live for His own pleasure. Now, this is interesting. All things were created by Him and for Him. They were created for His pleasure. But God does not live for His own pleasure. His nature is to give away and to satisfy. The Bible says He satisfies the longing and He fills the hungry soul. By nature, God is not a hoarder. Okay? Everything He has, He gives away. And I want to show you this. Just a couple of passages that talks about what God owns. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord, and every single thing in it, the world and all that are in it, belong to Him. Everything in this world, everything in this universe belongs to God. Colossians chapter 1. All things were created, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. All things were created by him and for him. And then Hebrews chapter 3, we begin to see the hand of God extending all that he owns, okay? Hebrews chapter 1, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, listen to these words, whom he appointed heir of all things. The Father has given all things to his Son. Keep that in the back of your mind. Now listen to these passages. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Then we are also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The Father gives everything to the Son. And what does he do with us? He brings us into his family. He adopts us as his children. We who were not a people become a people. We who were separated from God, God brings in, joins us to himself, calls us his children, and then everything that he has given to the Lord Jesus Christ as heir of all things, he brings us into by making us co-heirs of everything that he has given to his Son. You talk about giving, okay? God, everything belongs to God. It's all created by him and for him. And what does he do with it? He gives it all to his Son. And what does he do with us? He says, listen, I've given all this stuff, everything in the universe to my Son. I want to bring you into the place where now you are a co-heir and a recipient of everything that I have given. That's the nature of God. Everything that God has, he gives. Now think about this. When you're thinking about what it is to be like God, everything that God has, he gives. Everything that God is, he gives away. Everything that God possesses, he uses for his purposes in giving and blessing. Okay? This has something to do with our lives. We're called to be like him. We're designed to bear the image of Christ. And God's nature in this area manifests in our lives as we'll be just like him in this. Okay? So let me go on. Spirit testifies that we are children, and now we are co-heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him, even his own Son, he gave his Son to us. He gave his own Son for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's the nature of God. I'm going to give up my Son for you, the most precious thing that I have, the most valuable thing to me, my very Son. I am going to give him for you. And ultimately, it's for a greater giving purpose, because I want to give you all things. Can you see this, brothers and sisters? Okay? Here's another one. Luke chapter 12. Your Father already knows your needs. Seek first the kingdom above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Don't be afraid, little flock. Listen to this. It is the Father's great pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, these passages about God being a cheerful giver, where does it come from? Us being a cheerful giver, where does it come from? Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because God's a cheerful giver. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay? And when we are being like him, there's no grudging giving. There's no chafing at the bit and, oh, you know, this, you know. No, God is a cheerful giver. He loves it. It's his nature. He gets great joy out of giving. And here's another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Everything is talking to us. Everything belongs to you. Remember, God gave it to us. Everything belongs to you. Whether it's Paul or Apollos, Peter, the world belongs to you. Life belongs to you. Even death belongs to you. You know, we all wonder about the day of our death, and we may look at it with apprehension. I want to say to you today, death is a possession of ours. It's actually the doorway to eternity with God. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. It's the passing from this fallen body with all of its problems, sin nature that plagues us. It is the doorway into heaven, the presence of God. This mortal puts on immortality. This corruption puts on incorruption. Death is ours. That's why Paul would say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You see? And you know, when you read things like this, you know, you wonder, what does he mean? Life is yours and death is yours. Yes, death is ours. It's part of the plan and the purpose of God to bring us into his presence. One day death will be destroyed. There will be no more death. But in the meantime, it belongs to us. You say amen to that. That's why we don't sorrow as people who have no hope. We do not sorrow as people who have no hope. Because we understand what's really going on here. Okay? Life belongs to you. Death belongs to you. Everything present belongs to you. Everything future belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. And you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. You see? It's ownership. God owns me. The Father owns the Son. Jesus owns me. I own Jesus. Now, I'm not Lord. He's Lord. And I am his servant. I am his son. I'm his brother. But he's mine. I am my beloved's. And he is mine. He's mine. He's ours. Why? Because God gives. That's why. You have him because God gives. It's his nature. Chronicles 29. Listen to this one. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O God, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Now listen to this. I just described it's all his, you know, his great splendor and glory, his masterful lordship, and socked right there in the middle of this passage about God owning everything, being above everything, he inserts these words, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Do you know what that means? Yes, God is sovereign over the whole universe. Yes, he owns everything. Yes, all systems, all economies, all natural abilities in this world to create wealth or to create sustenance, every single one of those things comes from God. And it's God's heart to give them to you. You know, it's God's heart to prosper you, to increase you, to give you a supply. He owns everything, but what does he do in the middle of that? He says he wants to give you wealth. Can I be honest with you? That's not a bad word. Okay? That's not a bad word. He wants to increase us. Okay? Doesn't necessarily mean you'll be a billionaire. Maybe only a millionaire. Maybe only a thousandaire. But he will supply your needs. Amen? Is this grating on you? The fact that God wants to bless you and increase you? Okay? I'm going to give it to you in a few more passages here. Okay, the third point. God is making you like him. He knows that he has to supply to you in order for you to give. If God doesn't supply to you, you will have nothing to give. God is a giver. He wants you to be a giver. And so he knows that in order to make you a giver, he's got to give to you a supply so you can give away. Okay? That tells me God has every intention of supplying to us because he wants us to be like him. Okay? This is deep stuff here today, guys. It's very important. You can put this into promise form. I could give it to you in promise form. I could say it this way. If I were God, I am a giving God. I want you to be just like me, but you got nothing. So I'm going to give to you. I'm going to supply to you. I'm going to pour out on you. I'm going to bless the works of your hand. I'm going to cause you to increase because I want you to be just like me. I'm going to give you the ability to give by supplying to you. Now let me read it to you. Read it out of the Word of God. Okay? Remember this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9:11. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. Remember this. Now here he lays out the rule. Okay? This is how giving works. This is the key that unlocks the door. This is the latch that opens the door or closes the door in your life. You got to hear this, okay? There's a key that opens the door for God to give you supply, and there is something that closes the door. Listen to what it is, okay? This is Paul. Paul said, remember this. He says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Why is that? Because one way is like God, the other way is not like God. And now please hear this. Please hear this, brothers and sisters. God is not going to bless something that isn't like him. Some aspect of your character, some aspect of your heart that is like the world, that's like the devil, that is like humanity and not like God, God is not going to bless that and prosper that and increase that. He wants to get rid of that. But in any area that you are like him, God pours in. He increases that. Okay? You know, this is good news, guys. God's telling you how the system works. He's telling you how the universe works. He's telling you how he works in our lives. This is where I'm talking day by day, on the job, people around you, blessing from God, increase from God, God pouring into you, or God withholding. Okay? Very important. God says, if you act like me, I'm going to increase you. If you act like the world, I can't increase you. So let me read it to you again. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Why not reluctantly? Why should we not give reluctantly? Because that's not God. God doesn't give reluctantly. He lavishes. It's his great joy. It's his nature to give away. That's why God, now can I say this to you, doesn't like a reluctant giver. So we need to change this in our heart, you know? This a grudging giving, like a miserly attitude where we resent having to give. That's the opposite of the character of God. God wants us to give like he does, with great joy, with great pleasure. Okay, these are life principles, and it isn't just about money; it's about everything that we are. Okay, And that it's operating in the world, not just in the Christian life. It's operating in the world. God blesses even non-Christians and increases them when they are generous. Okay? It's a law that he's put into the universe. So, don't give reluctantly. You're under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now listen to this. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Now that grace is not undeserved kindness. That grace is enabling grace. That grace is the power of God to do something. He is able to make his grace, his empowering presence, his hand. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Listen to this. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound to every good work. I want you to abound. I want to give to you so that you can abound in every good work. Remember I said, God gives to us so that we can give. We have nothing unless God gives it to us. But God gives it to us so that we can do exactly what he does with everything that God has given to us. God has given everything away. God has given everything away. And brothers and sisters, that's how you have to see your possessions. That's how you have to see the things that you have in your life. They're not ultimately just to bless you. They're ultimately to serve the kingdom of God. They're ultimately to enable or bless or strengthen or pour out on other people around us. And now think about this. I didn't put this in the notes, but you think about this. The numbers of parables where Jesus says things like, you know, a man, you know, has great harvests, and he thinks to himself, you know, I'm just going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to put all my stuff in the barns, you know, and I'm going to keep it all for myself, and then I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. This is a parable of Jesus, okay? And then God says, you fool, don't you know that this day your soul is going to be required of you? And he says things like this. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but store up treasures in heaven. Those parables, and there are numbers of them, they're all there to communicate us what the nature of the universe is, what the nature of all these things that we have around us are, and the value system that God operates with. Okay? So listen to what he says. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound to every good word. Now listen to this. As it is written, God, he has scattered abroad his gifts. He's using himself as an example. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now listen to this. Now he who supplies seed to the sower. Where does the farmer get the seed to sow? Where do we get what we have to give away? God supplies the seed to the sower. He gives it. He gives us the seed that we need in order for us to sow, to give away. Okay? He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Are you getting this? God supplies seed to the sower. Remember he said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap so sparingly. But he says, I'm going to supply you with seed. I supply seed to the sower so that you can, in every situation, in every way, increase, ultimately, for the purpose, what does he say there? So that you will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous. You wonder why God blesses you, gives you the things that he gives you? He gives it to you so that you can be generous. Generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result ultimately in thanksgiving to God. God gets the glory when he supplies our needs and he gives us abundance so that we can be generous. Ultimately, God gets the glory because it all came from him in the beginning. Everything we have came from him. He supplied it to us. He gave the increase. He caused it to prosper. And ultimately, it's for the purpose that thanksgiving would come to God because of what he does for us. Okay? That's why, brothers and sisters, please listen to this. That's why giving's worship. It all came from him. Even the breath that I breathe, the strength in our hands, the capacities of our mind, all the things that God has given us in order to bring increase, everything came from God. Without God, we would have nothing. But God has designed it all in order to give to us. But why? Why? Why has God given us these capacities? It's because he wants his image to be seen on planet Earth. He wants to see his nature and his character lived out. What is his character? He is a giving God. And so he gives you the power, the Bible says, to create wealth, the power to increase. Why? So that you would be generous. So that you would give away everything that God has given you. Okay? A couple more passages, and I'm going to close. Proverbs chapter 11. There is one who scatters and yet increases. And there's one who withholds more than is right, but leads to poverty. One person scatters and increases. Another person holds everything and decreases. Why? That's the law. That's how it works. We sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. We sow generously, we reap generously. Okay? The generous soul, listen to this. The generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. That's God's word to us. The generous soul will be made rich. Now, it's not just talking about money, guys. Okay? It's our soul becoming fat. It's our families being blessed. It's our relationships thriving. It's everything in our lives. God having his hand on to bring increase. Okay? Although it does include money. So, one more. Luke chapter 6. Jesus talking. Give, and it will be given to you. Let me say it again. Give. If you give, it will be given to you. There's that law. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure that you use in giving away is the measure that God will use to give to you. Whatever measure you use in your generosity, whatever measure you use in giving away, whatever measure you use in giving, that's the exact same measure that God will use for you. And there's a reason why. He gives us descriptive terms. Now, we see this coming to us, this good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, and pouring out of your lap. That, you know what that's conditional on? It's conditional on the measure that we give. This is what God wants to do. God wants to give you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, being poured into you. How do you get that? You get that by being that kind of giver. whatever measure you use, that's the measure God's going to use. And what he's saying to you is, I'm going to give you pressed down. And you know, it's this agrarian image. You know, you go to the market and there's the grain and or the whatever it is that's in the basket, and you know, it's foodstuffs, and you go there and some people are skimpy, and you know, the weights are set against you. They're wicked weights. But in this case, you go there and the person who is filling the basket for you, you know, he starts pouring in, and he just doesn't let it just sit there. He grabs hold of the basket and he begins to shake it so it all settles down. Press down. Then he takes his hand. He presses it down to make more room in the basket so there'll be more increase. Press down, shaken together, and running over. Then he takes the store and he pours it into the basket so high that it's running out over the sides. See, that's how God wants to give to us. But he says, here's the condition. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Whatever measure you use in giving, that's the same measure that God will use in your own life. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Okay? No, I won't. I'll just give you the last verse.
You'll still be honest with us.
I will. My final point. We have to understand that to be like God is to be a giver. Giving is not an addendum tacked on to Christianity. It isn't a back burner issue. It is 100% natural that those who are like God think about giving. Why? Because God's doing it all the time. That they feel giving. They're moved to give continuously. That they love giving. And that they are continually pursuing giving, looking at who they can bless. Now remember, this is not just material things. This is our lives. This is what the knowledge that God has given to us. It's all the good things that God has put inside of our life. But it does also include the material things. Okay? The person who has caught the nature of God and who God is making like him, for that person it's 100% natural to think about giving, to feel giving, to love giving, and to continually pursue giving. Why? Because that's what God is like. I close with this verse. Listen to it carefully. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus talking. Freely you have received, freely give. Can you say amen to that? This is some of the best news that you will have ever heard. Do you feel like that today? You know, the flesh thinks of things like this as, you know, it doesn't sit well with us. But I want to tell you, the Spirit of God inside you is waiting, rejoicing, expecting, hoping that in the surrender of your life, it will become an ever outflowing giving to other people. And giving into the kingdom, giving into the purposes of God, and blessing everyone around us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Can I pray for you? I want to pray about something specific. I want to pray about the spirit of withholding. I'm not talking about a demon. I'm talking about the human spirit that believes that if we hold on to things, we will prosper. If you gather, that you'll increase. God says no. It's the other way around. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray today for insight. Lord, just like Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers, he said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you would see what is this great hope of this calling that has been given to us in Christ. I pray today that our eyes would be opened, that this is the way the kingdom of God operates. It's how you operate. You give us the whole kingdom, but you say to us, give the whole kingdom away. You give us all things, but you say, give all things away. Everything that we have is for the purpose of blessing. We get blessed, but it's for the purpose of blessing. I pray, Jesus, that you would set people free in this church, God. Set people free in this church from that spirit of withholding, God. And Lord, may we walk into the nature of Christ in this, into the character of God, this incredible thing that you are. You are a giver. Make us like you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.